And yeah, if you follow one of his trades on a Friday, you'll what they call Fridays their 1000% Fridays, but they do
Wait,
get
why?
trades that go to 1000 because they are able to find trades that go to 1000%. Sometimes you have some trades where like, oh, if I had held, I would have gotten more. But
Yeah.
then, oh, if I had held, then oh, I would have lost.
But
So
it's
he,
greediness though, see? You got to be happy what you have.
and that's something that I
Hit minimum
definitely
30% gains, you know. Exit
Minimum
out.
30%. No, I'm looking for the 1000%. It's 1000% or bust. This is how it works.
Hey there. Welcome to the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast, where you are encouraged to express your natural thoughts and views through casual, meaningful conversations that hopefully can lead to learning and understanding new perspectives. To find out more info, visit www.gfothoughts.com. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Wong and Robert Din. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome back, everyone, to Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. I'm Robert Din, one of your co-hosts. Today, we have Dr. Paul Hung, DDS, to talk to us about his journey as a dentist and maybe go into a future for 2020. And as always, we have our other co-host, Michael Wong.
Hello, hello. First of all, it's for future 2021, okay? And Happy New Year's, by the way. So,
I guess when this comes out, it'll be 2021 already.
Yeah,
but
exactly. So, well, anyway,
thanks
Paul.
For having me. Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy New Year's. So, what are you guys drinking today?
Oh, man, he's hosting.
He's watching us. He's hosting us. He's doing that. All right, I'll start. I have my good old fashioned H2O. All right. This Sunday. I don't know. It's been a long
H2O,
day.
Not even tea this time.
No, not even tea this time. Just even actually hot water because it's kind of chilly-ish. Chilly.
Mike loves his hot water. Like he loves having just hot water around. I think we were going hiking, and Mike was like, "I have this huge bottle of hot water in case
make ramen
to make ramen and to drink. Like you just like drinking hot water."
Hey, I made ramen out of that, so
yeah, it was good, and it stayed warm the whole time. But I was like, man, I don't drink hot water like to get refreshed.
That is true. So, Paul, what are you drinking?
I am actually drinking water as well. I love this. Let me
see. It's Chemeflask. There you go.
Thermo
Flask.
Thermo Flask.
Yeah,
this is 40
camping
ounce.
Camping gears.
Yeah. Yes. It's got this rubberized bottom as well. I love it, so it doesn't scratch any surfaces.
Oh, nice. See, I'm doing a New Year's bottle. We're gonna pop
there we go. Popping up a bottle.
Pop a New Year's bottle
nice.
For us.
There we go.
All right.
You know, cheers to you, Robert. Okay. You know, take the extra glass for us.
Cheers. Cheers to cheers to everyone out there who's not drinking water.
There we go. All right, well, Paul, listen, thanks for hopping on with us. So obviously 2020 is definitely been a crazy year for a lot of us. And you know, obviously, so tell us a little bit more about your dental journey industry, why you decided to go into the dental industry, and then, you know, and up to where you are right now today. I think you know, you went through worked at several different places, and then you end up owning partially co-owning with your own firm now, right?
Yes. So if you want me to, I'm going to try to do the Cliff Notes version of that.
There we go.
Yeah, I'll try. It's going to cover almost, oh man,
20 years of life.
Oh my god. Okay, so I'll try to cover 20 years of my life in maybe just a paragraph.
Yeah.
So I decided on dentistry senior year of undergrad at UF. I was with Mike Wong and his friends. So I decided I wanted to do dentistry senior year. Had to go to a master's program to finish the prerequisites, take some higher level like science courses, which helped significantly for first year of dental school. I kind of coasted, and it was great. I got to enjoy New York City. So that's where I went to. Yeah, I went to NYU. Loved it there 4 years, but I didn't want to live there because very high cost of living. But I loved that experience. I was rated probably equivalent to my times at you food. Laugh. Like,
Paul,
which Paul was great
is a big
as well.
Foodie guy, by the way.
Yeah, I. yes, I don't want to divulge too much, but I was the Yelp king at the time.
Yeah.
But I did lose that royalty, whatever badge. And I just graduated, moved to Texas, which is where my wife is from. And I worked around for almost 4 years, various offices. I loved doing that because I got to experience more offices than, say, if I worked at one office full-time. I actually did one full-time and one part-time for almost 2 years.
So you were just juggling back and forth.
I was working, thankfully, no kids at the time, so I had more time. So I was working 6 days a week, juggling, those two offices.
You're busting 60, 70 hours easily. I mean,
it was very tiring, and I did get burnt out. So in a biopractice required a lot of work.
Yep.
And end of 2019, it was going really well. We were projected to do over $1 million in 2020, but then look what happened in 2020.
Yeah.
I actually got hacked and I got ransomware.
What?
At the beginning of 2020, which I didn't.
Let's talk about that and a little bit later.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit later though. But yeah.
Wow.
Wait, so, okay.
So wait, so you bought your firm in 2019 towards the end of it or in the beginning?
I bought the practice at the beginning of 2017.
2017. Okay, so it's two years later. Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. 2 years later, I got hit with ransomware, which I didn't find out until it was pretty much close to the new year.
Gotcha.
Okay. And then I was demanded certain payment, which was Bitcoin. I'll reveal that. They wanted one Bitcoin per PC infected. Thankfully, only one PC was infected. And at the time, Bitcoin was actually kind of like 6 or 7K. So it was
kind of low at that time.
Yeah, it was low. And so I ended up paying him for the one Bitcoin. He gave me this, whatever, the key. It did unlock about 90% of my data, but the last 10% was completely lost. I hired some ITs to look at it, and they couldn't recover it. Actually, two different ITs. Then, COVID happened in March, and then Bitcoin dropped. And I'm like, oh, I could have paid less if I had waited. But it's always 2020.
But now Bitcoin is more.
Do you end up buying more Bitcoin afterward? We can talk about that a little later.
I've been waiting for it to dip to buy more, and it just keeps going higher. I'm like,
Yeah.
I'm just gonna hang on tight and enjoy the ride.
Yeah. So okay, so now that COVID happened with your firm, right? So I guess obviously things have changed, and it's hard to keep all the regulations, keep consistently changing. Change is such a last minute thing, right? So, diving into your, diving into the dentistry industry, I guess owning a practice, you have to stay on top of that, right? So, what kind of guidance did you follow? How did you know that this was the update? Like, is it like an association? They alerted you? How does that work?
Yeah, very good question. So, I followed the CDC guidelines because that's actually what I believe it was either state board or the ADA actually said.
Okay.
They said to follow the CDC guidelines. So, that's what I did. I followed the guidelines. And how did I stay updated? Well, social media, Facebook. I'm in a bunch of these dentist only Facebook groups. And so they're on top of it, which helped me because all I have to do is just make sure I check my feeds twice a day, just to make sure I'm on top of things. And thankfully I did that because there were certain funding like loans that you had to apply for.
Yep.
And had I not applied for that, the office would probably be under.
Gotcha. Mm. Also, you did those PPP loans
that I did.
And you're on top of the first one of the people that apply.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. That's awesome though. That's good to hear that.
So that definitely helped. I'm just very thankful that we have had that type of funding for us. Yeah. The SBA loan, the PPP loan,
nice.
Whatever, the EIDL loan. So
that
thankfully, hopefully
we
get that
forgiven.
So you guys
were considered essential workers, right, or no?
Yes, we were, but we still had to close down. Well, we could remain open as long as we saw emergency only, but we were very restricted in the procedures we could do. At the time, but now it's gotten a little bit more relaxed.
So how long did that duration lasted? Like 3 to 6 months? Like that restriction?
Yes, it was actually close to 3 months.
When did they start the restriction in Texas?
It was right around end of March, beginning of April.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then it was lifted, I believe, June-ish, maybe end of June, yeah, or beginning of July.
I thought it was end of July, beginning of July, yes.
Yeah, so towards the end of summer. Okay, so it was a little longer than that, but yeah, so about 3-4 months in.
Wow, that's difficult.
So like, I guess during that 3 months, right, were you able to do any kind of remote work, like anything like that? Like, I guess, I mean, obviously you couldn't have patients on site to see them, right? Did you guys try to do that at all? I'm just wondering, like, anything like that?
We tried to, yeah, teledentistry. We actually tried to. I really wanted to do it.
How do you even do that? Like, do they put the camera up to their mouth and stuff?
That's what I was thinking. So the downside is Texas doesn't allow teledentistry.
Wait, what?
I know. Yeah.
Wait, hang on.
I think it's the state board. Sorry, the state board doesn't recognize teledentistry. So they said to do a proper exam, the patient must be present, you know, in the office. We have to take proper x-rays or radiographs. So they think that's the standard of care, which is why they don't recognize teledentistry, which is why we were, you know, prohibited in doing teledentistry.
Okay.
But I think it would have been good. I think it would at least been very helpful. So
does that vary state to state, though?
It does vary state to state.
It does. Yes. California has teledentistry. Mm-hmm. They do.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still pretty hard, though. Honest.
Yeah, I don't know how that works either. I just don't know.
unless you had the patient to come in to do a scan, are you allowed to have a patient to come in and do an X-ray and then let them walk out? You're not even allowed
to
do that.
Yeah, actually, you can. Yes, you can, as long as they just sign the proper consent forms.
Oh, okay.
So even during those 3 months when you guys were, like, during that 3 months, you guys were just emergency only, right? That's what
we were.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then you can still have people come in and do X-rays and stuff.
Yes, but we were very selective. So because we were limited to, you know, emergency procedure, which is pretty much just like extraction, no production of aerosol was their concern. So anything that had to do with like a handpiece or like a scaler for cleaning. So we were prohibited from doing cleaning unless we did the old school way, which is, you know, through like the actual hands.
Wait, man. What is this?
That's crazy.
Wait, what is this? I don't even know.
So when you get a cleaning, usually it's through a machine called an ultrasonic.
Yep.
That moves just like it moves about 30,000 movements per minute, or it's RPM. I think rotates per minute.
It sounds like drilling.
I think that's what I normally get.
Yeah. And it's able to break off like the tartar, the plaque easier, but that machine produces aerosol. And so at that time they were saying COVID is spread through the aerosol and how aerosol can make it like, you know, travel further. Mm-hmm. So they restricted us, none of the ultrasonics, no hand pieces. And we had to do the old school way, which is called hand scaling. And it looks
like a sickle.
It kind of looks like sickles. On both ends, very, you know, pretty sharp, and then you just scrape the teeth, and it just
slowly. Those tools that you just go and scrape every tooth.
Yeah,
that's what you did. Mm-hmm. Man, that's rough. That must take forever to do for one.
Oh yes,
person.
It does. Yes.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, Paul. Like, you know, as you guys ease back into it during July, right? How do you prepare your staff for that? How do you end up? Because ultimately, you know, your staff safety comes first. And how did you end up mentally prepared for them? And how did you, like, because obviously you started doing trickling and get them a little bit more confidence coming in, you know, 2-3 patients maybe per day. You try to limit it. Like, you guys started off 50%, obviously, in the beginning, and then slowly winding it up?
Yes, good question. City of Texas, the City of Texas, when they allowed the opening of certain businesses like dental, nail salons, they said 25% capacity. Okay. And so 25% capacity for my office was probably about 4 to 5 patients per day.
Per day. Okay.
Per day. Yeah. So normally it's about 20. So 25% of that, it's about 4 to 5, you know, per day that we were allowed to see.
Yep.
So we would really spread them out, make sure there was about 15 minutes between the patients so the staff could really wipe everything down.
Clean down.
So I bought a bunch of those HEPA filters.
Yep.
And I had one in practically every room.
Yeah.
So when they enter, plus in the front desk area, one in my office and one in each of the rooms, just to filter out anything.
Any particle, yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that made them feel better.
How big is your
proper
team?
PPE.
How big is your team? I'm curious. I don't think, are you the only?
It's not very big. It is, including myself, 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seven.
6. And how many of those are dentists?
Just me.
Just you? Oh, just you.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I do have other dentists that come to my office, but they're more independent contractors. They're not employed under me.
I see.
So those employed under me, yeah, there's, I believe, 6, and then I'm the 7th one.
Gotcha. So, they're there for additional help that you need, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is great. I love it because I know I cannot be a master at everything.
Correct.
Yeah. It's going to take forever. So I'm going to focus on what I like, which is implants. And then I'm going to let these specialists. Oh, and I'm in the process of hiring an associate to the general dentistry. Mm. So present time, it's getting a lot better because I resumed my marketing, my Facebook marketing and my Google ads. Sorry, Facebook ads and Google ads. I just resumed that pretty recently, about 2 weeks ago, and now we're getting like.
So how does that work, though? I'm curious. I actually never done like I never heard. I guess I don't think I've ever seen a dental ad on Facebook, though. I'm just curious. How does that work?
I haven't.
Have you been Googling dentistry though? Like you have. I think you have your dentist for a long time, right?
I found my dentist by accident. I guess my friend just introduced me to it to a certain degree, but then I went there once at them and then we went back and then I ended up meeting him some random event again.
You went to a dentist once, never went back, and then you met him in a conference.
At a random event, like a social event, and I'm like, oh, hey, you used to work at this dental guy, blah, blah, blah. Because it was a Gator gathering, right? So the guy's a former Gator as well.
Okay.
And so it was like 2 years later. And I'm like, oh, shit, I need to check my teeth soon. So I went back to him again. So I do, now I do quarterly cleaning with him, you know? So
nice. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. It definitely helped, though, for sure.
I found my dentist through a friend of mine. I just asked around, who they use. And then I just went to, they were accepting patients. So then I just went to her. But before that, when I was in Florida, my mom works for a dental dentist. So she's like a dental assistant there. And so then she would just set up appointments and then be like, all right, come in this day. And then that was it.
Nice to have the hookup.
Good. Right? Good.
So Paul, let me ask you this though now. So obviously we're now things going, going almost back. Are you like 50% occupancy now, or are you still at 75%? Like what's the regulation there now in Texas?
We're probably about 75% now.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh no, go ahead.
Oh, it's 75, but it's on its way to, I guess, 100%. I would say, come New Year's, just because we're just getting a bunch of phone calls.
Even with the surge going on, like, is the CDC saying anything to hold back to the state at all? I'm just wondering.
They're holding back? No. At this current point, it's just. I'm following just the guidelines, proper CDC guidelines, wearing like the full PPE,
gotcha.
Just proper hand hygiene.
Of course.
So it's just stuff that we have been doing, but I'm just making sure that we're like still doing it consistently.
And this is like CDC precautions, mm-hmm. not like the state.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you went by what the state said, would they just be open? Or are they?
Yeah, 100%. Probably. It's Texas.
Right. It's Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, they know if they did that again, there would be.
They would get
People would be really upset.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
Your staff would be scared too, also, obviously. And you want to obviously look out for your staff as well, right? So, yeah. Which makes sense.
Yeah, so it's better to just ease into it rather than...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So explain this whole... Hang on. Let me explain this Facebook marketing thing with Dental. Like, what do you market? Like, do you get cool leads? How does that work? I'm just wondering. Yeah, like, so I've never seen an ad. I mean, you know, I'm like...
Yeah, and how what's the through rate of that?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good. I have tried so many different marketing like companies. Yeah. Some actually have told me not to mention, I guess, their company name through an agreement. But so I won't mention those. But who I'm currently using is called BTOP Local. They do work with a lot of healthcare offices. So they told me like chiropractor, medical, and dental. There's probably more now.
They're very familiar. I've been with them for over a year.
And so how they do it is I have to only pick one procedure. And so it's going to be a procedure that's going to be high production, which is implants. And the ad is for just a free implant consultation, which is what I'm offering in the ad. So that's to get them through the door. No barriers. You know how sometimes there's like a fee for a consultation?
Yeah, there's always a catch, things like that.
Uh-huh. And some still feel there's a catch with my free consultation, or they don't even read the ad correctly. And they'll think, oh, this is fake. Oh, they're not offering free implants. And I'm like, no, it's a free implant consultation. So how it works is to sign up for the free consultation, they fill out one of those forms. So you know how when you go to websites now, you scroll for a little bit and then a pop-up comes and it's like, subscribe here, first name, last name, email, maybe phone number. Yeah. That's what it does. It takes you to another landing page. They fill out that info and then we get an email alert with their info that they submitted.
That's awesome.
And so
you call them to schedule a time, right? That's what you do.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yep. So we have someone dedicated to, you know, returning those leads or the inquiries.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I guess the throughput's pretty good because this is like pretty targeted to people looking for implants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They already have it in the active mind to look for something.
Yeah. Different. Yeah.
So, which makes sense though.
Yes. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, for those people who don't know what implant is, can you explain that a little bit more for those listeners?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, so dental implants, they're usually made of titanium. Okay. And I like to use the word fixture, but it does look like a screw. So it looks like a screw. And that's just the first part of the implant, and that is underneath of the gums and within the bone. And then you have the next part. So there's three parts to the implant. So the first part is called the fixture, or I like to call it the fixture. The next part is called the abutment, and the abutment connects the fixture to the actual tooth or the crown. Mm-hmm. And everything that I do is custom made. I make sure it's custom because it looks better as well. So it does take a little bit of time.
Do you a mold or something like that? How does that work?
Oh, so for the implants, that's not custom. There's just so many different sizes of implants. I'll just pick the appropriate size for that specific site. And then the abutment is custom made. We scan everything digitally and then design it, and then they mill it through a machine. And that's then we scan that. Yeah, after that, we screw that into the implant and then scan that custom abutment for a lab to then design the tooth and then 3D print it. No, is it 3D print it or mill it? Whatever. They either cut it from a block or I don't think it's 3D printing yet. It's just
it's probably mill. Most likely it's like one of those automated mill that does that.
Yes. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the precision has to be very precise for that.
And for people who don't know, like what would be the reason someone would need an implant?
Yeah,
very good question. Yes, and it's just it's a very good option in replacing a missing space.
Oh,
okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. So usually, the options that I give, and this varies too, because missing spaces can vary by how many other missing spaces or teeth are next to it, which will then determine what options you can get in replacing those spaces.
And how many spaces you have, the spacing of it, right? Yeah.
Yes, so for an implant to be, for the implant to be in the perfect, site, it's got to be at least 7 millimeters in width. Gotcha. Now, you can always do what's called ridge augmentation, which actually expands, the ridge of the bone to ensure that you have enough bone for an implant. There's that procedure. So you can essentially get implants almost anywhere in the mouth, as long as you're willing to pay for it. Yeah. The best time to get an implant is usually when the tooth is extracted, as long as there's no infection in the site. But I usually try to push for implants done at the time of an extraction, because then you only heal one time versus pulling out the tooth, heal, do the surgery again, heal.
So how long does that take? Just wondering, to do a whole set of implants?
Yeah, from start to finish.
Yeah.
It varies where in the mouth too. So you have four different types of bone density in the mouth. We'll go with best case scenario. So best case scenario, you're probably looking at about 4 months start to finish.
Oh, shit.
Four months. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a one-time procedure done type of deal.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because you have to let the fixture integrate with your bone. And that just takes time. You can't. Oh, it's so hard to speed that up.
It fuses itself.
It'll actually fuse. So removing implants that are fully integrated is very difficult. That's why they cost $700 plus just to remove an implant, because it's that difficult.
Wow.
Yeah, because they don't want to break anything else, and they have to. Oh, that's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Dang. So removing an implant's way worse than removing just a tooth.
I didn't want it. Yeah.
just because it's already fused in there.
And you love doing this.
I know.
This is a favorite thing to do.
I love putting it in, not taking it out.
Oh my god,
man. That's still, I can't imagine that. That's so crazy. Imagine you had to do four of them. Jesus Christ.
And it could add up. So it just varies so greatly that it's very difficult for us to just quote a price, which is why I'm offering this free implant consultation.
So you can see hands-on what you can deal with. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which makes sense.
And usually we're pretty good at that conversion, because once they step through the door, I have a system place where they're just going to have a great dental experience.
Yeah,
I make sure there's minimal wait time.
So you have a methodology in a sense, okay. Uh-huh. Best customer service type of deal, and in terms of what kind of attention they're getting, things like that. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I make sure there's certain systems in place where I know I have certain pet peeves for. So one is waiting. No one likes waiting. Yeah. So I try to make it where they wait a max of 5 minutes, as long as all the paperwork's done. but once the paperwork is either done or handed in, I try to aim for 5 minutes or less. And then once they come in, everyone's just make sure super friendly, explain everything in detail. And then when it's my turn to go into the operatory, I make sure that once they come to get me, I go immediately. So again, minimal wait time. Mm-hmm. And then I just explain everything. I listen to them first, and then I explain everything. Go into details, with just the options that I'm going to give them. And I make sure I repeat it too, because I took a dental related psychology course.
Yeah.
And it was very helpful. And so there's certain things you got to do to kind of plant seeds, in the patient's head, so that they'll say yes to the treatment. And
Because at the end of the day, it sounds like they may be skeptical still. And so probably you have to, in order to kind of make sure that they understand what they're going into. So also probably it's probably a level of comfort, right?
And dentistry, I don't think anybody likes going to the dentist. I don't think that's a thing. Like, people don't like going to dentists. It always sounds scary when you're in there. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's always stuff going on. So you got to get them comfortable with what's going to happen, and like going to the dentist for 4 months, right? Like, minimum.
Mm-hmm. It's a commitment.
Yeah, it's a commitment.
Mm-hmm. For sure, though.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you have to connect with them and earn their trust in like a span of, you know, 15 minutes.
Which, yeah, that's tough.
Like it can be tough, but
all the salesmen, doing by the way. For, all the salesmen,
you know,
ABC.
So many times, it's starting to. I feel like it's more consistent now. I'm seeing like results, and they're more likely to then move forward with treatment. It doesn't you know, just stop there. I try to have other like systems such as financing, like easier financing options, you know, better terms and stuff. So for the patients, because that's what I noticed even when I purchase stuff online, you know, how there's all these four payments, equal payments, correct, like zero interest. Yeah. Well, there's one where it's five equal payments, zero interest for dental now from ScratchPay.
That's
but they're
cool.
They're not a new company. They were more like veterinarian financing, but now I guess they opened to dental, and so
it helps though.
That stuff is expensive too. Like every time you take your dog to the vet, it's like $4,000 every time. It's just so expensive. But
I think that financing piece definitely helps, because especially if you're going back to 4 months in a row, for sure.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this: do you do your own kids' dental work?
I do.
Nice.
And my wife's family, and my family as well.
Yeah, it's like everyone in the family is coming for sure.
For free.
They do. Which I'm glad that they're coming back. So that means I'm not hurting them or mistreating them.
Also, all of their workers' families too, right? Like all of them.
Yes, yeah. And also now so my mother-in-law's brother also comes to me as well.
Oh wow!
Now
I guess it's
so
in Texas.
It's like it's starting to like spread.
Yeah. That's how my mom's dentistry is. Like where she works at, like she's one of the she's a Vietnamese dentist. So like all the Vietnamese people in Vietown in Orlando go to her. But then also now my mom works there, so then our whole family goes there to that dentist.
So
it's very much a family affair.
And that's one of my goals for my office as well, is just give them such a great experience. They're going to refer their friends and family, which is a trend that I have been seeing,
I mean, that's good. That's just a result of your good customer service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The follow-ups and stuff, the feedbacks that you probably get, you know. And I mean, it's just it's kind of tells itself, right? So, which is great. So
yeah,
that's awesome. Congrats, Paul, on that. You know, obviously next year, 2020.
Hard work.
You know,
that's why I'm looking older.
You still look the same, by the way.
Okay.
By the way, Robert, this guy has had an 8-pack still since like college. Okay, and he still has an 8-pack right now.
Still has 8-pack now.
Yes.
Hey. Wow.
We have no excuses, okay?
Yeah, I have excuses. I don't want to go to the gym, but yeah. Dang, man.
This is why Paul's at the gym 24/7. Look at his background. He covers his background.
Oh yeah.
Right now.
Oh yeah, I did. I covered the background. Yeah. I sleep in the gym. He didn't sleep in the gym.
Well, I think this is where you decompress, you know. You work so hard.
It is.
Sometimes you just gotta clear your mind by working out. I mean, that's not how I do it, to be honest. So
yes, it helps so much.
That's for sure. Especially like during COVID, you can't go anywhere else. But I mean, you probably had the gym before COVID, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the prices of gym equipment skyrocketed. Right?
Yeah.
COVID. I'm like, that's crazy.
And bicycle as well.
Like,
the bicycles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bicycle, gym, weight, the dumbbells. The dumbbells were already expensive already, and it just kept going up.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I mean, I'm glad to hear that. It sounds like business, you know, it's going to get better. You're growing the firm, you know, especially in 2021. And, you know, looking, you know, obviously, like you said, you're looking to hire people, which is great. So, things are looking upward. So, this would be your fourth year, technically?
It will be my fourth complete year, and I'll be starting my fifth year, I guess, in 2021.
Oh, shit. Nice. That's awesome.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. Yes.
Damn. So it's not,
okay. The goal is to step back a little bit, cut down on the days from the practice.
Yeah.
And hopefully I have more time for options trading and my other side gigs, actually. My other side gigs.
So Paul
started because of COVID.
That's good though.
During COVID, yeah. This is the stuff started because you're at home, you can't,
yes.
You can't take clients and stuff. Wow.
Yes. So because of COVID, I started selling PPE, just gowns at the time. And I still do. But I've slowly added products to the line. And I actually didn't think I would. I actually thought this was going to be a short-lived, just kind of like COVID fad type of side gig.
Yeah.
And I actually foresee it being more of a permanent kind of side business. And I really enjoy doing it.
Nice.
Just flexibility and time,
yeah.
You know, being my own boss. I love it.
Well, the thing is that also too, if you were able to find the right suppliers for that kind of stuff, it's hard. Because at that time, everybody wanted a piece of their own stuff for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So and that's one thing though.
Yeah. I see. I'm on your website now. Is it TNP Supply?
It is.
On there now. Yeah. It's like gowns, masks.
Do you have a specific niche target to who you target?
Just dentists right now, but I wanted to target hospitals and just other healthcare offices. I just haven't. And I am only selling it's a website called Net32.
Yep.
And it's just a dental related supply store marketplace.
It's a good niche.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the eBay of, you know, the dental world. Very popular. World. Uh-huh. Yeah. They have like over 100,000. Users on their email list, and they blast the emails and they'll promote your products, and it's been going well. And but I do need to do that is it vertical expansion or horizontal expansion where I sell on other marketplaces. So I have looked onto Amazon and eBay. I plan to do that eventually. I just want to get this I added additional products, and so I'm gonna have to kind of relearn how to get the flow going, because I was so used to doing like two or three products, and now I've added three more, and so it's gonna be more work. So I gotta like figure out what this new flow is gonna be like. Like, what is the demand for, you know, for each product, and making sure all the products are stocked. So, you know, I need more time for that. Which is
what was it? What's that called? Net 20?
Net32. NET32.com.
That's
it's
crazy.
Basically like an eBay, and you can search for like the lowest price, and it's
crazy though.
Competitive that's, out there.
Yeah, it's very yeah. competitive out there. I'm looking at this. This is almost like an Alibaba version just for dental stuff.
It is, and they do really well. I don't know the exact numbers, and I don't know if
this is only dental stuff.
Yeah, it's only dental stuff. They do, I want to say, at least $1 million per month.
Damn.
In just fees, I want to say, because they take almost 23% commission.
Whoa.
Wow, it's 23%.
So
that's worse than Amazon. Yeah,
it is. So that's why I'm looking into Amazon. But because they have like this dental niche, like the
network.
Demand.
It's just the network and the data, the customer data.
It's customer data. They tell you which products are the best selling. So that's why I'm adding more products. It's based off their data that's compiled, and then making sure that product has a good margin as well.
They probably have brand recognition
through
the dental industry.
They have that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it's doing pretty decent as a side gig. So I'm pretty happy, and hopefully this expansion will, you know, take it to the next level, because I would like to work from home more, and I definitely can't do that with dentistry.
Not in Texas, at least, until they allow you to do teledentistry.
But Paul, you love implants, you know, you gotta do some implants. You know?
Oh yes, so I'm just doing 2 days a week. Well, this is the ideal plan. Is I'm gonna work dental 2 days a week for maybe 5 hours per day. and just do implants.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you want to narrow it down just to that niche, I guess.
Uh-huh,
yeah. Right, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Just because it's the most profitable, I guess, for me, myself.
Gotcha.
Just, you know, how long it takes me, which isn't very long. And then, you know, the cost, the overhead, and then, you know, how long it takes me.
Well, because you're good.
Is another good. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, like experience, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Experience behind that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I mean, it sounds like you're full in 2021, man. It's the stock options and then your side business. That's crazy. How do you balance that? And we two kids.
I know. I get asked that all the time, and honestly, I don't know how I do it. I am tired. I am tired a lot, but I'm actually very happy. Actually, I'm very fortunate for COVID, just because I got to spend more time with family,
of course,
which is why I'm going this route with my practice. You know, getting the associate, cutting time back, but also the side gigs as well, so that I can, you know, continue working from home, because I'm gonna get bored if I don't do anything from home. So I gotta do something. So, and I really love this side gig. You know, the TMP supply, and I also am really liking doing options trading as well, and I know I can do that from home. So, you know, I'm thankful for COVID, you know, for happening, for, you know, allowing me to change gears
It's a force, a blessing in disguise to help you slow down. So, and that's one of the things that I kind of happened to my I guess area as well. Zero travel, I gained 10 to 12 hours back. Allow me to start this podcast with Robert.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I was able to do other things as well. So for sure. It helps you reflect, to be honest. It makes you also realign what's more valuable in your life.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, and that's one thing though. So let me ask you this, Tonya. I know that you're there, you know, you're very big on, you know, solar and EV and stuff. I mean, you know, you're in your first Tesla, second Tesla now?
First Tesla.
What Tesla did you get?
First. I got the Model 3.
Model 3. Okay.
Model 3.
All right.
It's a Model 3 Performance.
With a long battery, right?
Yes. They're the long range, and then the performance version of the long range.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
So how far? What's your range on it?
This one is the 2019 model, so it's actually about 312, if I charge it to 100%.
Got it.
I don't know if it really gets that. That's just what it says. But depending on how you drive, that number will fluctuate.
Mm-hmm.
So I always have it on percent. So I don't have it on miles. So I don't care about how much miles I have left. Because there's this thing called range anxiety. And if you have it on that, you know, the miles, then yeah, you're going to have range anxiety, because it's just going to fluctuate so drastically based off how you drive.
I
just have it on percentage.
Mike, did I ever tell you that time when I got lost, or I like ran out of gas from going from Tahoe back to San Francisco?
No, you did not.
Oh my God. I'll tell you this story. So I went over there to go snowboarding. And then I'm driving back from Carson City to San Francisco.
You forgot to put gas on.
And when I was leaving, I was like, before I leave Carson City, I need to put in gas, right? And so, because you go through the mountains and stuff through Tahoe. So I forgot. And I was like driving through in a rental car. And it was like, it said how much miles I had left, right? And it was like, you have 20 miles left. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I'm in the middle of the mountains. And I'm like, oh God, I can't, I'm going to run out of gas. So I was like, let me Google the closest gas station. Right. So I Googled it. It's up like maybe 10 miles. And I was like, all right, I'll get there. I get there. It is like nobody there. It's like
close.
A gas station and like a hotel, but there's nobody in the whole place. And so it's like deserted. And I was like, oh shit. So I had to drive. Like, I looked up, and like the next gas station closest to that point was like 12 miles in the opposite direction.
And you I had was to
like,
go back.
I had to go back 12 miles and go around. And I was like, I was freaking out because of that miles, it just goes down and down and down. And it gets to a point where it doesn't even give you a number anymore. It just says low mile, like low gas. So like I'm like I got to the point where I was like, oh god, I don't even know how far I have left. I'm gonna get stuck here. It's cold outside. There's nobody on the roads. Oh man, but luckily I got there, put in gas, everything was fine. But yeah, that's usually, my story of almost dying.
Usually it's pretty good, those gas cards, they usually say it's a gallon just for you, just in case.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because I was there.
And they don't tell you there's an extra gallon there.
Yeah, because I was there. They were like, yeah. It just stopped saying how many miles I had left and was like, you're low. Like, you got to get gas. Like, you got to go.
So, Paul, have you ever got stuck in your Tesla and just die in the middle of the row?
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
Yeah, all the I guess, you know, the horror stories that you hear about the Model 3, thankfully I haven't had any of those issues, knock on wood. Yeah, and I've had it for 18 months so far.
Oh nice. So you had it for a while now. Mm-hmm. I saw a video yesterday on Reddit. Is it Reddit or TikTok? Someone took a video of people driving two people driving the Tesla, but they fell asleep driving it.
Autopilot.
It's really like, it's like literally the guy was like this the whole time.
Yeah, the lady was like that.
This was in LA.
And then the guy was like this. And they're just like letting it drive.
This was in LA too, you know. I was like, what the hell? And they went 55 miles an hour by themselves, you know.
Wow.
That's horrible. They
trust the car.
So tired. It was either they trusted it or they were like, they couldn't stay awake.
Well, how did they get around with the hand wheel, the holding the wheel thing though? Because they had to get around with that somehow. Because Tesla is very annoying with that. Hey, you got to hold the hand, you know, touch it, right? Every, like, you know, whatever, 30 seconds or a minute, mm-hmm. something like that. How did they get away with that?
I actually have something for that. And it's actually a weight. It's a weight. It's a magnetic weight clip. It, you know, clips around the steering wheel.
Oh.
And it provides just enough weight that once you activate the autopilot, it'll actually think you have your hands on the steering wheel.
Oh, wow. My God.
Yeah. So
I love it.
Yeah. So they sell this on Amazon, this device?
I got it off. Actually, I think they do have it on Amazon now, but I bought mine off AliExpress.
Okay, I gotcha. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Don't do this, people. Like, listeners. This is not advice.
We should tell Sammy to do this. I'm just kidding. That's awesome.
So when are you going to get your Model S?
Not sure yet. I want them to do a
I think you want the Cybertruck.
A body refresh. Oh, but I do have a reservation for the Cybertruck. So Cybertruck will actually be the second one. Yeah. Honestly, I don't really care for the Model S, but if I were to go for another Tesla, it would be the Roadster.
Oh,
the Roadster.
That's what you prefer.
I'll use it for business to meet business up with you guys.
Business expense.
You meet up for the podcast, right?
Harry, so let me ask you this, Paul. Obviously, like, you're big believer in Tesla. He owns the Powerwall as well as the solar panels, right? You have four Powerwalls, right?
I have four Powerwalls.
So how does the Tesla work? Does it do net metering and they pay you back? And I know Texas is a little bit different than Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good question as well, because I had to look into this. I the reason why I went with Tesla or just solar is that I knew that in Texas they had utility companies that did net metering in their they call it their buyback program. So they'll buy it back. A one-on-one, actually. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one-on-one. But it
what does
varied.
This all mean? Oh. You guys are talking. I don't know what.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, sorry for the listener. Yes.
Oh, yeah. For the listener. So if you're just connected to the grid, you're only pulling energy from the grid. So in the meter, it'll always go in whatever direction. I don't know which direction it is. Sorry, but the number is just going to keep going up because it's based off your usage in kilowatt hours.
Okay.
But if you have solar panels that put excess energy back to the grid, that's called net metering. Is you're trying to create like a
providing
positive
energy.
Credit.
Positive. Uh-huh. You want a positive.
Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so you normally in, I guess, older houses, They have to install a separate meter to measure this inflow and outflow versus just inflow. But mine, they were able to remotely reprogram it. Like,
because it's all digital now.
So I was just very impressed. So on that day that I switched to Green Mountain, that's who I went with for the buyback program, because they had one of the highest one-to-one buyback, which is 14.9 cents per kilowatt hour.
That's pretty good. That's really good.
So not even 2 weeks. Oh, go ahead.
Well, let me think about this. Like, if I was thinking about regular energy companies that happen, like if you just had a regular electricity, they have a meter outside where people come and then they look at the meter, they say this amount for this month, and then do they reset it, or do they just leave it there, and then like the next time they come, I don't even know how that works, right? So maybe they reset it, maybe they just mark the how much it is, and then that's all digital now. Like they don't do that anymore. They don't go around and like check your meters anymore. Okay, so then now those digital ones, they've set it up so they can measure how much you're putting back in through from your power walls to the meter, the system.
To the grid itself. Correct.
I see.
So you said 2 weeks. How long? How much do you produce in 2 weeks? Curious.
I don't have the exact numbers, but I got a text message from Green Mountain that said there's no need to pay for the bill this month because I have a credit for $13 and change.
Wait, so what is your average monthly bill cost?
Normally, it's about $188.
Wow. So yeah. You make $200 pretty much.
Wait, you still pay for electricity? I don't get it.
No, he didn't. That's what I'm saying. He got a text saying that he didn't pay for electricity.
You said normally you're still paying for electricity.
Oh,
no, before
this was before I got solar. Yeah. Before I got solar, my average usage was about $188 per month.
Okay. So when did you get these power walls in?
I got them installed 1 month ago, but I was not allowed to power it on until the city approves it. They have to come approve it, and then Encore, who's the main who owns the grid, I guess here, they have to give me a permission to operate letter, and that took 2 to 3 weeks. So it wasn't until pretty recent, about 2 weeks ago, that I actually got to turn it on.
How long have you had it on for?
About 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. That's 2 weeks. That's crazy.
So that means if you were going for a month, it'd be like you would get $200 back.
Yeah.
Every month.
And wow. We're in December so we have the shortest daylight hours.
Because the heat is on too.
So the heat is on. So
you have the heat on as an Asian person. You have heat on. You guys just don't put more blankets on. Wow, this is a brand new Asian culture that's going on right now.
So Robert, let's say not only he makes $200 credit back probably in a month, he also saves another $183 and $189 on electricity bill as well.
Yeah, it's true.
So your ROI probably will get back in 8 years, not even.
That's what I'm hoping for. I want to see how well Texas summer, how well that works, because apparently that's supposed to be where like you build up a ton of credits. So the main one of the reasons to go with like solar and Powerwall is to not only put energy back to the grid, but you develop enough credits during the summer so that should you use the heater or the warmer or heater in the winter, then you have credits to use, so you don't really have to
kind of covers everything.
But is it really I guess it's more sunlight, so you get more back, but during the summer you're using air conditioning more, right? Like that isn't,
yeah,
that's just how it works.
I'm actually, so that's where I'm curious to see how well, is a solar panel investment going to pay off or not?
Yeah.
It's going to pay off anyways, right? Like in the winter, it's already $200 in 2 weeks.
I think this is your worst case scenario. Yeah. I feel this is your worst case scenario during December time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Did you do it to the south side of your house only, or did you do it to the east and west as well?
Good question. So let's see. My door is facing, west, so north. East and west, but it wasn't based off my decision. It had to be approved by the city.
Oh,
as well. I'm not sure. Well, first, it had to be designed by Tesla.
Of course.
And then Tesla, I guess, has to get, or we had to get, I don't know, they had to do something with the city and get like permission or get checked off for like the installation.
The permit. It's probably
they had to approve of it.
Yes.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, it was a permit. Yes, that's it. Yeah, so yeah, the permit is why they had to go through the city.
Gotcha. And I mean, your house is fairly new as well, right? So it probably helped because this house is being fairly new, though. Because this kind of aligns with your roof. I guess the span line of your roof.
Mm-hmm. That was another reason why I just moved forward with it. The roof was just 1 year old because I got the house was built in early 2019. So yeah, it's been almost 2 years, and yeah, like you said, the warranty is about, I believe, 25 years for the solar panels, and I think the roof is, I don't know, is it 20? Every 20 years you have to replace.
Every 20 depends. So it really varies. 15 to 25 years, that's a range usually, especially if it's architectural shingles, or it depends. Like if it's tiles, every 30 years. If it's metals, like every 50 years.
Yeah.
So overall though, like are you having a great experience, right? What do you see, like, I guess, you know, this, I guess, give us a future prediction. How do you think Tesla's gonna do? And Robert thinks Tesla's is overvalued. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just saying that as a car company, it's overvalued, right? Like I've changed my opinion on it, but honestly, it's still like overpriced in general. Like it's just way more, it's valued way more than it actually is because there's no justification for it. It goes up because it's been going up. It's a momentum stock. It's not there's no justification for it.
But like, it's not a car company though.
I'm not saying that anymore, right? Like I don't care about if it's a car company or energy company or whatever, but it goes up just because it's Tesla. It doesn't go up because Elon Musk said anything. Like he could say something and be like, oh, we're going to release this. And then it goes up or it goes down, right? He says nothing. There's no news. And it just goes up.
Well,
and that makes
Tesla.
No sense.
Well, there's a lot of people who short Tesla who try to make gains out of it. You know what
they
I mean?
All lose. They all lose. Like, it doesn't matter. Like I did that like 8 years ago. I was shorting Tesla and I never won. And then recently I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. You know, I'm just going to go with it. I'll go with the momentum, but it makes no sense to me the value that it's at right now.
So Paul, what do you think? Tell us your thoughts. I'm just curious.
I agree with Robert. Tesla is overvalued. I feel like it's valued. What's the wording? Like it's valued as if we were, about 5 to 10 years, like into the future.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I feel. It's like it's gonna go down as like number one meme stock in history. okay, predictions. Well, I feel they're definitely coming out with the version 3 of the Powerwall, which is I think gonna have double the battery density.
Correct.
Which it's is you know I'm kind of like envious of that because. I didn't want to wait, and I also want to take advantage of the, I think it's like 20% federal tax credit if you get a solar system this year. So that's another reason why I just went ahead. But I know they're going to come out with a version 3. I'm going to be very envious of that. I hope it's backwards compatible because I might go for that.
So you can just swap it?
I'm thinking either swap it or just like add on to it.
What is the capacity?
Oh, yeah, add on to it. How much space do you have in your garage? You want to add on to it?
Yeah, so you can have up to 10 power walls connected together.
Wow.
But I didn't want to, obviously don't want to pay that much. That's just insane. The power walls are still pretty expensive, by itself. Yeah. But that's my prediction. So version 3 power wall. And
wait, before you move on, what So what is this battery? What does the battery capacity do?
Oh, it just determines like how much it can store. So right now,
you don't
now,
really store anything, right? You like it goes back to the grid. So why would you need storage?
I want the storage. So my goal is to be off the grid. I never want to pull from the grid, but I have to be connected to the grid if I want to participate in the buyback program. So during the day, okay. So here's like a normal day. So right now, let me see if I can. You probably can't see the phone, but this is the app. Sorry. Yeah, I know it's bad. It's the Tesla app, and it's showing that my home is now pulling power just from the power wall. And it'll keep doing that until it drains all four power walls, which it's not going to do just overnight unless we have the dry running and I'm charging my car to, 100%. Then it'll like really drain it. But what normally happens is by the time the sun rises the next day, my battery, my power wall goes from 100% to maybe about 66%. And then it does take a little bit of time to charge back to 100 because, the sun slowly goes up, to its peak. Yeah. But once it's at its peak, the power walls have already charged 100% and it's now pushing the excess energy to the grid.
It only takes 5 hours to charge 100%. That's so crazy.
Less than that. Like today I timed it. It took 3.5 hours to charge to 100%. But that's from about 60-ish%, 65%. So 65 to 100%, about 35% it's not bad. Yeah.
And then all the excess goes to the grid and you get money for that.
Yes. And it's a one-to-one credit. So yeah, per kilowatt, it's 14.9 cents per
and
kilowatt.
If you pulled from the grid, how much is the energy cost? Per kilowatt.
The exact same, so 14.9 cents per kilowatt.
So it really doesn't matter that you have like a bigger battery, because you could pull back, like it's still going to send out the same amount, and you're going to pull it back, and it's going to be the same cost. You don't lose any money there.
You don't, but the downside is, I'm coming from paying about 8 to 9 cents per kilowatt before I had the panels. And so if you want to participate in these like one-to-one types of buyback programs, I wanted to pick the highest payout, but they had options with lower payouts with the one-to-one. But I just wanted to be completely off the grid. Don't ever want to use power from the grid, which is why I went with four power walls, but now hindsight is 2020. I don't think that's enough. The goal was to have enough power wall battery for a week. And
it's okay. You're going to get the version 3.1 coming out. You're going to add two more power walls. Don't worry.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And this takes up space in your garage.
It does actually. Let's see. I wish I could give you like dimensions. I can look it up on the site.
You can send the pictures over on WhatsApp.
Yeah, we can show it later. But yeah,
I think Tiff sent me some pictures. Did she? Hang on, let me see. I might have them.
Like, what would you compare it to if you like a size comparison? Is it like a?
It is. Okay, so each one is close to 250 pounds. It's like heavy.
Ooh.
It's heavy.
It's your height, right? It's about your height. Like five,
it's
eight,
not
five,
quite my height. I would say it's maybe chest level, maybe my chest level, and it is pretty wide.
So it's 5 feet tall.
It's all wide.
That sounds like
It's a decent size. Yeah, it's a decent size.
Yeah, yeah, so Paul's 5'9", so it's 5 feet tall.
Okay, all right, that sounds about right. 5 feet tall. Okay.
And then it's probably another 5 to 6 feet width.
And they have to be against the wall. They can't be like 3 and 3 or 2 and 2, like in front of each other.
That's what I did. My configuration was actually 2 and 2.
Oh, so you
but
could
it has
just
to be
like
against the wall.
You could just have like 12 of them, and then instead of a car, you have like all your Tesla.
You could.
Wait,
but they limit you to 10.
Though? Doesn't it heat? Or does it cool down very well? Yeah, does it get hot? Yeah.
Oh, it has a very efficient cooling system.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
I've touched it and it's pretty cool to the touch, but it could be the case. I could.
Oh, okay. So you don't feel it in the garage being warming up your garage at all? like his own natural heater in the garage. Okay, that's good though.
Yeah. If that was the case, if it heated up the garage, like that's extra heat for you. Like you don't have to go. you just pipe that heat in, and you don't even have to use the heater.
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome, though. Well, I'm glad to hear that that's working out for you. So, all right. So we're gonna take a little break. We're gonna go to the extra energy session, and we will, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about a little bit more about your day trading things and or your the option trading. So you want to start sharing your story, Robert, or you have a meme,
So I had a meme, but since we're talking to a dentist, I'll tell a story, right?
Okay.
I was working at my old company, my coworkers would go out to lunch, and I was like, there'd be days where I'd just be too busy, and I just wouldn't go out. So there was one day they were like, "Oh, we're gonna go to Smoothie King or like one of these smoothie places, and get a smoothie." And I was like, "Oh, okay, I don't really want a smoothie, but what else do they have there?" And like, "Oh, we have like avocado toast and like different things." And I was like, "All right, get me an avocado toast." Right? So they come back, they go and they pick up the toast. They bring it back to me. I eat like half of it during the day. And it's like really hard bread. Right? Like I was like, "This bread is so hard." So I was like eating it. I ate half of it. At the end of the day, my coworker was like, "You need to finish this. Like, why don't you finish your meals when you're working?" I was like, "I'm busy, right?" So I was like, "All right, let me finish it." And I go and I take, I want to say it was like the last bite of this toast. And I have like a fake tooth here, like a bridge. And it broke off. Like, that was so hard that it broke my tooth. Like,
oh my God.
It broke my tooth. I was like, "Oh my God, this sucks." And I think I swallowed it. I don't think I have that tooth.
You swallowed it?
Yeah. I don't think I know where the tooth went. And then I go talk to my coworker. I was like, "Oh," I was showing them. I was like, "Oh my God, this place broke my tooth. Like the bread is so hard." And they're like, "Oh man, when we were picking up this toast, we were talking about it. We're like, oh man, this toast is so hard. The bread is so hard. It could break someone's tooth." Like that's what they said.
So you were talking about it before.
They were saying it when they were there, and when they came back, they brought it to me. They didn't say anything to me. So and then it actually happened.
They didn't warn you. They didn't warn you at all.
Yeah. So that's led me on to like a whole trip, and now I'm like looking to get an implant into this spot where it used to be like a bridge, and then But then now, like, they're like, "Oh, there's not enough space, so you need orthodontist work to, like, open up the space to put an implant in." Mm-hmm. So, like, oh, it went through this whole process.
Oh.
Been, like, a year now. And, like,
oh, no.
Oh, man, that's my experience as, like, with implants. Like, this is how I got to where I'm at right now.
That's crazy. All right, Paul, do you have a funny story or meme or you would like to share, or kind of, or you, or a picture, whatever, doesn't matter. If you don't, it's no big deal.
Any story? I mean, I'm trying to think of one of me with it's I guess it's dental related. I was working as an associate at one of their bigger offices, and I was helping them move boxes. And as I bent over, my pants split in the back.
No.
Yeah. And this is midday. And our gowns don't cover our backs. It's an open back.
Yeah.
So even a gown could not cover me up. So there's a lot of laughter whenever I walked by.
What did you do? Did you go home?
No, I just finished work and then I went home. I didn't.
Oh, so you didn't care. I was like,
you didn't even care.
I
didn't
just, put like I'm a. Just like, you know what? Just.
You have like the open back. You have the open back, so you can just put two of them on, one forward, one back.
Yeah, that's what I should have done.
So you just didn't care.
Yeah, he's just like, whatever.
Yeah, because it was more of a. I was just helping that office out, so yeah, I didn't.
I never see those people again. That's probably what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
That's pretty funny, though.
Mike, what you got for us?
All right, so I got two funny pictures. Here's the first one. So we're talking about the holidays, you know, people taking family photos. But if you look at WhatsApp and for those people, for those who are listening on our podcast, it's a picture of a family, someone taking a family photo during the holidays, and then someone holding a long side mirror on the far left side, and
So that they're in the picture. That's perfect.
Yeah. So the title says, how to get everyone in the family picture. So you can see the person.
Oh, that's good.
Taking a picture of the picture in the mirror.
They have have like timers on them.
I know. I'm surprised they didn't use a timer. I guess they didn't have a tripod. And this was like one day ago, by the way.
Wow. I guess that's the way to do it.
Yeah. And obviously, speaking of holiday, the second one is a video of somebody give them a gift and it's wrapped around. You know, it's pretty much, you know, I wrapped up my brother's a present in concrete, and he got it for Christmas. And so pretty much he gets a gift and he's going to unwrap it. And as he's unwrapped, it looks like it's pretty heavy.
All right, let me look. Oh, it's heavy.
Yeah. And he opens it up. And he opens up into a small box that like, does like duct tape.
I can't even get to this, Garrett.
And it's empty. The box is empty.
Wait, this box that he's opening right now is empty?
Yeah, and then he gets a hammer. He has to hammer his gift out.
Oh. So he literally just gave him that box just to give him false hope.
Yes.
He concretes his whole gift.
Oh my.
Yeah. But the whole gift, though, is it's made out of concrete around it, so he had to hammer it out.
Oh my god. Wait, how long is this video? 2 minutes?
Yeah. He's hammering the concrete.
Dang, this is just nuts.
A couple days ago?
Man, this is commitment to the bit right here. To like...
I know, right?
To really put concrete
I wonder what's the gift is. And now he's chiseling the
concrete. Oh, there's a sledgehammer right now?
Yeah.
What is the gift?
And yes, that's a pop.
Alright. Epoxy?
Get into it.
Oh my god, what if this is like an iPhone and he messed it up?
Probably, it could be an iPhone, it could be some AirPods, you know, never know.
I want it to be like nothing inside. Socks!
So he pulls out a tiny little box. Socks, a pair of socks, yes, correct. All that work is for a pair of socks, orange and blue socks.
I know. Feel bad for him.
Oh, man.
I'm just surprised he went to the trouble to just to break that.
Yeah, I don't know anything that I want enough that I would run through that whole process.
To sledgehammer, just chisel out the whole thing?
He's a chisel, he's a sledgehammer, he's a hammer. I don't know. I'm like, you know what? I'm okay without the gift. Thanks for that.
All right. Well, okay. So going back, so Paul, you know, for the second segment of this piece, obviously 2021. You know, do you think that we're gonna get this crazy rally, all time high market, like we did in 2020? Even though you know we had that dip in March and then everything just went back to all time high. Do you think that's gonna happen?
Yeah. Where do you think the market is right now?
Yeah.
I definitely feel like it's getting a little lofty. I know it's going under its correction. I mean, when it was hitting around when SPY was hitting around 370,
yeah,
I've already felt that was like
shaky, you know, shaky. The high.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like there's something that's gonna come up, like a rug pull or something.
What do you mean by that?
So a rug pull is usually just when the market takes a little corrective dip.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But not like a massive corrective dip.
Either. Oh no. Yeah, no.
You don't think there's gonna be like a 2008 type of thing where it bottoms out?
I think it might, maybe not beginning of 2021. But I feel like it's coming. Something's brewing.
Like, I feel like we may have another year of this.
Mm-hmm.
Another year of continuous growth.
a little bit of continuous growth, but like you said, Paul, some kind of there's just shakiness. You can tell there's some shakiness already for sure.
Yeah, I feel market hasn't quite, you know, corrected itself yet, and like you said, it's still like a little shaky. I do see maybe short term, you know, a little short term bullish trend,
yeah.
And then probably some sort of corrective movement.
Why do you think that we had coronavirus? We had that dip in March, right? Which was and then after that, like, it was right at the beginning of COVID and the pandemic. Yeah. But then after that, we haven't seen any resistance at all, and it just keeps going higher. Why would this happen? Like, why would there be such a tiny dip in March, and then gotten better? I guess the stock market doesn't really tell you how the economy is doing.
No, but it doesn't. It still
makes no sense with all of this stuff going on that our markets are at all time highs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this stock market is a playground for the elites and the very wealthy, and they're not gonna let this playground go
disappear. Yeah.
They're not gonna let another dip like this happen unless they know about it, which I'm sure they knew about the COVID dip, because
there's a lot of movement.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, you could tell there was like a lot of like selling of positions around like January, February by senators. Because I think they had to report it or something. So like there was like a little graph that showed that they knew about it before. I believe that the stock market is manipulated. We just have to play by their rules if we want to, make money. And that kind of goes into why I like options flow, which is a very kind of recent thing. I have played options in the past, but I just didn't know what I was doing. Lost good amount of money. And now I'm back playing options with Black Box Stocks and Cheddarflow. And I just feel with these two tools, I'm able to be more one step ahead of the retail investor. So I kind of have like a little bit more insight on where the big money's flowing, and then I'll just follow the money.
So what made you decide to get into this? Like, how'd you find out about it? How'd you get into, like, I mean, obviously you played a little bit option before, you got your hands burned, but what made you get the confidence to do it again? And then obviously having this tool, how'd you find out about it?
I had to find traders that were good at options first, but taught it. Because there's a lot of these just alerts. They'll tell you, okay, entry, exit. Okay, yes, it can be good to a certain point, but I want to learn how to do that. I want to get as good as you. So I actually paid for several of these trading services. In just learning, and some I like, some I didn't like. And so I've come down and narrowed it down to Cheddarflow and Black Box Stocks because of, a few reasons. Cheddarflow, just their UI is just very, looks good. Very easy on the eyes, easy to use. I like that. And cost, I got it for maybe, I think it was like 40% off or 50% off one time. It was like a Black Friday deal. Was it Black Friday? I can't remember, but it was a deal. And then Black Box Stocks, I really like because they have a very strong community, and they also teach you, how to read charts.
Yeah, there's a whole series of homework. They tell you, hey, go do this homework. Literally, they go through this, go do this homework before you even do anything.
Oh, really?
And it's a long ass list of homework. I'm like, holy shit! I was like, oh my god, there's so much to do.
They have webinars almost every weekday.
They text
night
you.
Too.
They even text you to remind you, hey guys, there's a webinar coming next morning. Yeah.
So that's what kind of got me back into options is, hey, there's this very supportive community, very big on education. They want people to learn. And I just like the risk reward of trading options. And I don't hold them for long. I sell them practically same day, maybe even within 30 minutes of each other.
What do you trade? Do you trade on TD Ameritrade? What do you trade?
Oh, what do I trade? Fidelity and Webull.
Okay, so we both so that means you have a brokerage account there, I'm guessing, a margin account as well.
Yes, I believe you have to
for day trading.
I think you can. Oh, I have a cash account. Sorry, I have a cash account, so okay. I'm not affected by PDT. But I do have to wait until I have to wait until funds are settled to play options. But I like that they're settled the very next day, which is another reason why I like options, because with stocks and you sell, you know, it's the T plus 2 days. So you gotta wait 2 days before the funds are settled to play. And that's kind of long for me. I just feel like there's, you know, I just want settled funds on hand for opportunities. That's all I'm looking for, you know, the right opportunity based off the options flow, and then just jump in and try to exit before everyone else exits. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you have do you have a risk calculator in a sense yourself? Obviously, you don't trade 100% of your cash stock. So you try to keep it within a certain percentage, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I try to keep it to. I don't know what the percentage is, but for me, my comfort level is $1,000 per like options contract. What, you know, it's not by quantity, you know, obviously, but just however many contracts it takes to get up to 1,000. That's my limit that I'm willing to lose. You know, willing to lose it all. Uh-huh. But I won't go all, you know, 1,000 first. I'll go for like a starter, like 1 to 2, 3 maybe contracts, and then depending on which direction it goes, I may either, you know, double down or add more as it continues going up.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of like my strategy.
So let me ask you this though, and I guess, you know, sounds like, you know, you kind of essentially
let's take a step back, right? And we're talking about options, like maybe people don't know what options are. Yeah. And let's like explain what are options, because I know all of us probably we're like we've been playing this stuff for a while, so we all know. But like if someone who's listening doesn't know what an option is, how can we explain what that is to them?
Yes. So an option is just a, I'll try. It's a contract. It's a contract that either allows you the right to purchase 100 shares at a specific strike price or sell at a specific strike price. So that would then fall into either a call or a put. Hopefully that's like the most basic, but it, you know, it goes into much more in depth from there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for those listening, that's just an option is a way to leverage 100 shares of a certain stock for less than what it would cost if you paid 100 shares for a certain
stock. And it has an expiration date. So therefore, depending on the expiration date, the price fluctuates. And part of it that because you can always assume, so like Paul said, you know, call option is more like your stock's gonna go up a certain price range, buy it again. Or if you think the stock's gonna drop, you buy a put option.
Yeah. So like a call option is, say you think Amazon, I don't know, say you say some stock is $100 right now, you think it's gonna go to $150, then you would buy a call option. It lets you leverage, it lets you basically time. Or basically trade on 100 shares versus trading on just one share as normal. And the price is usually lower, or it's usually cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then so you could use that money to
exponentially
make money or lose money depending on how the market goes.
It allows the holder to buy the asset at a state price, you know, within that specific time frame.
Yeah.
I mean, for people who want to find out more, you check out investopedia.com. They're really good about explaining stuff to them.
Mm-hmm.
They have really good intro.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Paul. Like, it seems like, you know, you're comfortable using Black Box and stuff like that. I guess why don't more people sign up for this kind of stuff? It sounds like it's kind of like as long as you're willing to pay for it, and people can sign up for this.
How much is Black Box? Because I'm looking at Cheddar Flow. I see like the pricing plans and stuff. But I don't see a pricing thing on Black Box.
Black Box is only invites only.
Oh, it's invite only.
Right?
And they are having a end of the year special. And it's $859, I believe, for the annual plan. whereas it's normally $9.59. Yep. And in 2021, they're actually raising it above $9.59. So that's another reason why I went with Black Box. But to answer your question, you know, why don't more people use it, is the cost. That's the first barrier. They're not willing. I find a lot of people not willing to pay $99 a month, or, you know, the $900, you know, for a year plan. They're just not willing to pay for that.
But they're willing to risk to go option by themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. They want the free route.
I think they don't know the value of it, right? Like, so you're paying $900 or $99 a month or whatever, but mm-hmm. how much are you going? Like, I feel like a regular trader might just be like, I don't trade options that often, right?
Yeah.
One, like, and two, like, this is seems like a level, like there's a level that you need to be at in investing to understand it and make money off of it. And am I going to make $99 a month off of it?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. To get your just to break even.
Just
right?
to break even off, yeah. off of like what we're sending.
But I mean,
and you will in just one trade.
When I was trying to explain this to another friend of mine, he thought I was like, oh, this is like an MLL scheme. How's this an MLA scheme? Like, then, because the thing is that you don't make money unless you do something yourself, you know what I mean? Like, and it's not like you're trying to sell something to somebody else, you know what I mean? So it's like, mm-hmm, so Robert, that you can follow different mods in there to see how they're doing. Mm. And because they showed their own trace as well.
Wait, who shows? The teachers? The people who are teaching you? Or the
people
who are...
So they have, what, six to seven mods?
They actually have 12.
12 mods. Yeah.
Yeah, they have 12.
Oh, the moderators of the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they show their trades. And not only that, one of them, I think, has like a small account challenge. They started with like $3,000 or $2,000, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it shows, and they do the trade to try to get it up there, things like that, and within a certain time frame.
Mm. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
Their goal is 20% per month in gains for the small account challenge. I haven't really been following. When, you know,
20%
when they
is actually pretty hard, though.
It is. Yeah. But if they're able to do it, you'll like what triple in 12 months if you follow them.
Yeah,
I think it's great. Mm. Yeah,
but if you have, if you have $3,000, right, and you're making 20%
per month,
that's $60 a month, right?
$600, right?
Yeah,
my it's like 20% of like
600, right?
The previous.
Okay, level. That makes sense. I understand now.
Yeah,
600.
Yeah, but it's still pretty hard because it's your option trading, so your risk is still pretty up.
The risk
though.
Is high, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been keeping an eye on that for a while now since I joined. So I haven't done anything yet, just because I'm just.
Oh, you haven't.
I'm doing the homework list.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah. There's so much homework.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys need to send me an invite to this so I can join this Black Box thing.
Are you willing to put $900 in there, see?
I'll do it if I can make back $900. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, if you follow one of the moderators, who I don't think he'll mind, but Thu Kang, he just loves the big cap stocks. So like Roku, Netflix, Tesla, Apple. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you follow one of his trades on a Friday, you'll they call Fridays their 1000% Fridays, but they do get trades that go to 1000 because they are able to find trades that go to 1000%.
Are you serious?
On Friday. Because on Fridays, weeklies expire, and you know how weeklies will move exponentially.
That's true.
That's how they can hit 1000% plus. Oh. On Fridays.
Mike, I'll do it. One trade, 1000%.
One trade, yeah.
That's all
okay,
I need.
Explain the tool though, because I think the technology behind Black Box actually, that's what's nice about it. Explain the tool to Robert and for those listeners, whatever it is.
Okay, I'll try it because they as in the moderator, one of the moderators, or I think two of them, they're the coders. They coded this, they call it the algo or algorithm, to look into the options flow, like just by like the second. So a dashboard that you can access through their site. You know, you have to, it's like a member only like type of portal. And it actually has two options. They have one for stocks, which I don't really frequent, but they have one for options. And the options dashboard has a few, I guess, windows. One is like a live chart of just one stock, and then options flow just as they come in, but you can filter by either call puts, and then if above the ask, is a sweeper, block, whatever, there's a bunch of filters. And then the last one on the side is any dark pool info that comes in. And I find that really helpful as well. So that's what I know of the dashboard. But the coders, I guess, or the software programmers, you know, haven't really, you know, it's all like proprietary. So they, you know, they're not going to reveal it. And they have tried to sue some other groups that try to steal their software too. So I know they're very kind of hush hush about it, but that's just on the consumer end of the dashboard is how Black Box works. But they also have a Discord, which I find very helpful. But they're also on Twitter as well. So they're on multiple platforms because not everyone can use, I guess, you know, let's say Twitter or Discord at work.
Yeah.
And some people do trade at work. But I am, yes, yeah, like me.
You trading at work doesn't really sound that bad at all. It's your own company. I know, right? It's someone like Mike or me who's like using our work computers to like make trades.
I wouldn't use my own computer to do anything because I work for an audited company, so I gotta be careful with that, some of that. So.
Oh,
no,
man.
but it's definitely been for me, worst case scenario it's been definitely interesting to see stuff and learn. I've definitely learned a lot that I don't think I would have learned on my own, and I should look for it. You know what I mean? Like, because it's like, well, you don't know, you don't know what to look for.
Yeah, I kind of quit options a while ago because.
But it's not even just an option. Just understanding the market a little bit better.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But I quit options a while ago because I was playing. I think I end up net positive, but I was like following this one pharma company, and it would go from like $8 to $16, back to $8, back to $16. Like, it was pretty consistent. Like, if it's at $8, eventually it's going to go to 16, and eventually it's going to go back down. So I was playing that. I was like, I played options on that, and I made a bunch of money, and then one day came and just took all of my profits. It went the opposite way, and I was like, oh shit. And that was, and that, at that point I was like, all right, I think I'm done. Also, I was trading I was shorting Tesla, and that never worked. So I at this point I'm kind of like, I'm just gonna go the slow and steady route and just invest in ETFs and let the market do what it does. Invest in certain companies I know they're always going to go up, you know, like that type of stuff.
Well, you have different portfolios, right? The whole point is diversification, right? You probably have your long-term portfolios, which is your stocks, your ETFs, and then you have probably your short-term stuff that you probably play with daily or weekly, whatever it is. You can't mix the bag. I do the same thing. I have my long-term stuff I don't touch at all, and I have my short-term stuff as well, though.
Yeah, but like after that, I just stopped even playing the market. Yeah. I just stopped. I was like, I was gonna put it all away and then just let it go. And then every once in a while, I'll take some money out and play with it.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's hard to beat the market itself. I mean, obviously, even hedge fund had trouble doing that, right?
Right.
But the whole point is that this gives you a little bit of leverage to follow the big money to see at least what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Because
I want to I would pay the $900 just to like learn what they're looking at, right? It makes sense. And just to get that knowledge, it seems like good information for someone who's interested versus, I don't know if a normal person would want to invest this $900 because I don't know how much they get out of it, but I feel like I would like just understanding it gives you more knowledge and understanding.
Yeah, and it also makes you realize, I'm like, man, we're playing with chump change compared to these people. No, seriously, we're playing with chump change compared to some of these people. I'm like, which mod did you think you follow that you recommend for Fridays?
Oh, for Thu King. P-A-U-T-K-N-U.
I marked him. Yeah, he actually has some pretty good trades himself.
He does. And he posts the charts and he actually tries to teach you. He explains, this is why I went in the trade. This is what I'm looking for. He gives you like alerts along the way. If you're able to go on the Discord voice channel, he'll actually give you, he'll be like, okay, I'm watching these tickers today. Look for these to break a certain support or resistance, and then you go in. I find that very helpful because, as a still a novice, you know, trader, I need some guidance, and I feel like black box is worth it. Like I've already made, you know, I've already that one trade, just one trade, can potentially, you know, pay for a full year, and then you have like, you know, the full another like, full almost full year to really just make even more money. But they're all about they're all about risk management too. They're like, just like, please do not go all in, you know, please do not YOLO, you know, they're like,
they're not YOLO.
They're not Wall Street bets, huh? Like I follow Wall Street bets too.
I think the recommendation is like 30% of your portfolio, right? I'm not more than that or something like that.
It depends on the mod.
Yeah, well, Jenny's a risk mod. She's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Depends on your risk appetite.
Your tolerance. That's true too. Yeah. Well, there's certain mods that are just a little bit crazy though.
They are more risky, but some of them have some good, like really good trades too. And
I'm wanted to see their past 2020, the whole chart of their ROI on their trades. Mm-hmm. I just want to see that. Hopefully they post that.
Yeah. They don't, but I hope someone will put in the time to do that.
Because they post all of their trades, right?
Uh-huh, they do.
So somebody can go back and like look at all of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. And just track it, yeah. Because they tell you when they sell, they tell you when they go in. Mm-hmm. So they're very transparent. So what I like about it, because they're very transparent about it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thu King. He actually posted his Excel sheets on like his like either monthly or weekly trades and his like win percentage. And it was just so high that someone made a comment saying, well, I should just like follow you, you know, blindly and just put a bunch of money into each of your trades. And that's when he stopped doing that.
Oh.
He stopped posting up his like Excel sheets. And I'm like, dang it. You people like,
person to ruin it, yeah.
Yeah.
Key and mouse shut up, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he's still good. So yeah, if you just want to stick with like big caps or large caps, yeah, Thu King, he's got some very solid trades. Very good trader.
So so do you think that, you know, obviously, you know, with 2021, you know, just you know, coming here right now. So overall, do you think this year it will be a you still think it's a positive trend in the market, then, huh? Overall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, we're not expert, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a sense, mm-hmm. It's just seeing it through. I guess the government would be a little bit more stabilized. I guess COVID, hopefully, is, you know, it's been more control, right?
Round two is coming. Round two is coming. I saw UK. It's already
here.
UK has round two. And
LA has them already.
The new one?
Yeah. LA has a new one already.
Oh, really? When did this happen? Yeah.
I saw the news on Friday on this.
Snap. That's it.
Hang on.
We're done. It's it.
Hang on. LA new strand. Hang on. Oh, COVID. Hang on.
I saw it was in France. Like it transferred over to France recently, but I didn't see the US. All right. Yeah. So just 2020. Okay,
so
same.
I mean, if there's round two, then I hope there's a chance for us to buy on a nice dip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or your cash, right?
But.
Exactly.
But like based on 2021 based on 2020, like the dip didn't really.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen again though. No. they're not going to have. Yeah, they're not going to let that happen again. I think not for a long time. But I'm just going to follow just the options flow. You know, yeah, just follow where the big money is and just try to exit before they exit. So
yeah.
That's another thing I've learned is
try to get a piece of it.
Yeah, just don't get greedy is what I've learned. I've lost by holding too long, but you know, it's weird. Like hindsight's always 20/20. Sometimes you have some trades where like, oh, if I had held, I would have gotten more, but then, oh, if I had held, then, oh, I would have lost. So,
but it's greediness though. See, you gotta be happy what you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hit minimum 30% gains, you know.
Mm-hmm. Minimum 30%. No, I'm looking for the 1,000%. It's 1,000% or bust. This is how it works.
Yeah. All in, right? All in.
All in. I won't go all in, but I'll go 30%. Like that seems like a good 30%, 1,000% or nothing. That's like great. Yeah.
All right, well, so Paul, okay, I know we're coming out at the end of the hour. I know you have dinners coming up soon, but so let me ask you this, you know, for 2021, you know, in a sense, do you think Tesla's going to break 1,000?
Ooh, my answer is going to be a little biased because I had a little insight to an options flow for Tesla expiring September of 2021.
Yeah,
and I believe there the bet was it was either 900 or over 1,000. Okay. So I feel Tesla will either get very close to 1,000 or break 1,000 by the end of 2021.
Wow, really? Mm-hmm. So that means I should hold on to
7
my
right
shares.
Now, right? It's at 7.
And it's 6. Almost no, 7. It, remember it did the 600, and then now it's like around 630, 640.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's gonna consolidate a little bit here, and then. Hopefully they, I think it'll go up if they have really good numbers for quarter 4.
I think they have a good quarter numbers. I think they really have.
I think they will. I think they will. Yeah. They've just been like beating expectations. And I think that's why, you know, the stock price goes up, but.
Yeah. But the Gigafactory finishing in China next year.
Mike, where do you think it's
their second one, right?
What's the number? Yeah. What's the number going to be, Mike? What's your number out there? Yes.
I think. Tesla will probably hit around 750, probably up for the quarter 4. I think Paul's right, but then it may take a step back.
750, like at the end of 2021?
No. Quarter 4, which is like in less than 3 months.
Oh, past quarter. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I think it's gonna retrace back to probably around a high 600-ish or so, and then by the end of this year, I do think that Paul's right. It may be hit around 900 or so.
Hmm.
Yeah, and this is why I'm debating whether I want to hold my shares or not. That's the thing.
It's gonna double, yo. It might triple. Yo, it's going to the moon. It's like gonna be better than Bitcoin.
Tesla has made a lot of they call it like Tesla millionaires.
Yeah, Tesla millionaires. Yeah. I mean, think about this though. Like they've been acquiring a lot of. Interesting infrastructure. They're the only electric company, car company that has an infrastructure out there. And if the rumors are true, they're letting Ford and GM using the charger station for the electrical vehicles. They're making money. That's another place to generate revenue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and they're only expanding their infrastructure right now. They're not slowing down anytime soon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the only downside I see with Tesla, they may lose market share in China, which I don't think they give a crap. Mm-hmm. But and otherwise in Europe, their Gigafactory in Germany may open. I think when does it open the Gigafactory in Germany? Hang on, I forgot they have another Gigafactory in Germany.
That's what I read. Is it not Berlin, right?
It's in Berlin, Brandenburg, and it's set to open in 2021. Yeah, in July 2021 too. So 2 gigafactories finishing next year.
Mm. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Double. It's gonna be like at least double, Mike. You're so selling too soon. Stop selling at 30%. You gotta sell at 1,000. Sell at 1,000. Outside of Tesla.
Okay.
What's a stock to look for?
NIO. I think NIO is gonna be one of the most high ones.
NIO. I'm in on NIO too.
Yeah, nice. I think NIO is definitely a little bit undervalued right now. I personally think. I hope, and I'm very safe with Navian as well. It's a simple lending company, but they paid nice dividend. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. one of my long term holds. I still have my Disney stocks. I don't care what people say.
Disney's going forever. He's never. Yeah. Disney's always gonna go up.
Yeah. I've held for over 12 years now, so whatever, good dividends. Nice. I bought more GE, so when it was at $7, I bought a bunch. That's my long term hold as well. I don't think GE is gonna go under. I don't know, man. It's kind of tough. I think like If we're talking about long term, it's like those like the typical companies, right? That's been around for a while. I mean, in a sense, I say for obviously for Neo, but I my short term stocks is like Moderna. I don't think that's sustainable. I don't think
Moderna, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's sustainable at all. But that's my short term, one of my short term stocks. Another short term stock, I think I have Li, which is like a competitor of Neo. I don't like their business model as well. I just think that there's the hype of the EV sector. That's just why they're doing so well. But short term again, what else? I'm very scared of any oil company out there right now. But I'm not touching that at all. But their pricing is looking good though. They're looking undervalued dramatically. And do you think they're gonna disappear overnight? Probably not.
Yeah,
I was
on oil ETFs for a while, like last year. Everything dropped. I put quite a bit into the UCO. That's made a lot of money, but I recently got out of it.
Before the COVID or after COVID?
No, it was after COVID. It was pretty recent.
You lost money? That means
no. I made money on UCO. I made so much money. I got in a long time ago when they dropped. They dropped a lot, right? Like oil prices just dropped a ton. Yeah. And I was like, I gotta get in on this. So I bought in at UCO. And yeah, I'm up like at least 200% on UCO.
That's good. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so for me, when the dip happened in March, I bought a lot of hospitality stuff related stocks. And for just for the short term ride, I sold it like around 80% profit. I should have held it for longer, but obviously hindsight 2020, right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, like there were some companies I was like, fuck, it hit 400% gain back already. I'm like, and then we're not even end of 2020 yet. I'm like, how's this possible? You know,
Mike, 1,000 or 0. Like you gotta
short term stuff. You know, whatever. I don't get greedy. You know. No, but I think 2021 for sure it's going to be an interesting year in terms of the market. I think it's going to be more volatile, to be honest. I think the volatility is going to be different. Because we start seeing a little bit of just shakiness now. And I think it's going to be a little bit more up and down. We'll see. I just want to for people who are trading out and stuff like that, obviously do your own research. We're not expert at this. We're just still learning as probably like you are.
Exactly. Mike only takes 80% gains. No 1,000% gains.
I have losses, man. I have my losses. I have my losses, man. Where did I lose that? I lost my, so you know where oil, when COVID happened, they were supposed to have oversupply oil. So I invested it in like an oil tanking company, right? It went up a little bit, but I sold half of my shares because when it was profitable, I should have sold the rest. I didn't. I lost money in there. So technically, I ended up breaking even in a sense.
I lost in crypto a little. I lost XRP when XRP, like I was so on board with XRP for a long time. And then it just dropped because of the SEC allegations.
I think they're going to be fine, believe it or not. I personally think that I just think
the litigation is going to go on for a long time. So
a year?
I think it's going to be 2 years at least.
You think so?
Yeah.
But I think this is going to open doors opportunity for a lot of people though. For other coins.
Yeah, yeah. No, so like I sold out of XRP to buy into other coins, right? So
yeah.
There was on such a high. So long, and then
for those who don't know what XRP is, it's an alternative coin in the cryptocurrency world. And so it's like value right now, it was before value of 56 cents to 60 cents, and now it's valued at 27 cents now.
Yeah, it got up to like 60 cents, and then it's down to 20 now, it's at 30 cents today, I think.
But let me tell you, but the technology is great though. People don't understand Ripple technology is actually pretty good technology though. So
yeah, it's just they're trading illegally, that's all.
Supposedly,
like allegedly.
Well, they filed the paper, the DE paperwork a long time ago too. That there's proof of that too as well. So
it's interesting because the government's already said that like Bitcoin and Ethereum are cryptocurrencies, right? They're not
securities.
But now they decided, oh, we're gonna say that XRP is a security. Which how much different is it really?
I think they're just trying to say, hey, we're the police here, obey better law.
Yeah.
Everybody else, is it? Just, I think they're just setting an example for every other coins out there.
I think you know what I think it is. I think the Fed, that guy who put it in, the Fed guy, he has a short on him. He just put it out there.
And it's hard to track that too, especially if it's a cryptocurrency.
Right. I think he had a short on it, and then puts it out there. It drops half, even more than half. Like, then you're like, yeah, all right, just make all the money and just leave. Like, that was his last act as in his office.
Let me ask you this though. Do you think though they would get delisted in any major exchange?
Yes.
You think so? It's because what do you think?
Because you can't, like, just if you want to be like an exchange that abides by the laws, like, it's hard for you to list a currency that is like currently in a lawsuit for that, right? So they.
But let me ask you this though: they're not even out of the top 10 yet.
Of course not. Like, they were number 3, right? Like, they were the third biggest cryptocurrency. Yeah, they're not. They're I don't think they will be even if they got delisted. But I think that, like, just to be safe, you need that. Like, you need to like at least halt trading, because.
Halt the trading, that makes sense. But delisting is a whole different world. Different, I agree with that part. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's just I think some of them will. I think some of them will, just because. You don't want that grief, like, that the government.
But you're saying that it could drop, it can cut in half, it can even drop to 10 cents.
Yeah, I think so. I think if they get delisted from one, like, didn't one already delist them?
I'm not sure at all. I actually don't know. I haven't followed the news.
There's been at least one that's delisted them,
yeah,
or like halted, for sure. But yeah, but I think once if they do have a few, then it would be. It'll be pretty bad for them.
Yeah, I think I know that a certain companies like Coinbase is thinking about it. I don't think that anyone made any action move yet. As of 3 days ago, I don't think anyone made a move yet. So, we'll shall see. Actually, no, you're right. Cross Towers is an exchange. It's a small exchange.
Yeah. I think one of the smaller exchanges did already.
Yeah, it's a small exchange called Cross Tower though. But yeah, all right. Listen, Paul. We definitely appreciate you having on, but you, like, before we, you know, sign off, do you like to plug anything? Where people can find you? What's your website or your Instagram?
Oh yeah,
consultation for your implants.
Yes, for sure. So I'm located in Dallas, Texas. My website is Dentist in Duncanville. So I'm right next to Duncanville, which is. Just a smaller, like, city, just outside of Dallas, but my practice is in Dallas. But it's easier for me to market, as a dentist in Duncanville. So that's why my website's Dentist in Duncanville.
Nice.
And then my dental supply company is just TN, as in no, P, supply.com. And then my social media handles, if you want to follow me, Instagram, it's Dr. Dr. Paul DDS, and Twitter
it would be right above us, so you'll be able to see.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, it'll be right above us.
Yeah,
Flow Trading LLC on Twitter, and that's it.
There we
Thanks
go.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was really enjoyable. I really enjoyed it. Maybe we can, like, do an anniversary one, and then, you know, revisit our predictions. And,
yeah,
there we go.
You know, that's cool. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
Oh, Paul, listen, we definitely, you know, wish you obviously amazing success 2021 with your firm, with your day trading, you know, everything. It seems like you're on the right path, man. You're definitely on the right path for sure.
Thanks.
For success.
Yeah. So, hoping for 1,000% trades.
I would love that.
Well, don't forget about the lure, guys, though, you know, like us, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm gonna help you reap in the same profits once I'm good. I it's gonna be a while, but once I'm really good.
Once Paul gets added as one of the mods.
Yeah, they'll
yeah. Mods. All right. We can follow Paul's and mod.
Yeah. Okay. I will try to be very good.
Well, appreciate having you on, though. Everybody, you know, happy New Year's, and wish everybody good, you know, fortune, good health, right?
Yeah.
But meanwhile, don't forget to hit the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And for those who are listening, don't forget to subscribe. Leave a review, leave some comments. We'd like to hear what you'd like us to talk about. Even join us in, you know, one of these podcast episodes. We'd definitely love to have you on. Other than that, and what else did I forget, Robert?
Go to our website, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, www.gfothoughts.com. You can go through all of our podcasts there.
Right. Well, happy New Year's, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Paul, thank you for coming in. Appreciate that. Until next time. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Peace, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts podcast. As always, we appreciate you. If you are watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like this episode, and leave us a comment. If you are listening to us, please leave us your honest review on your preferred podcast listening platform. And as always, you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at GFOT Thoughts. Drop a comment and give us some feedback. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, see you then.